Thank you, Judy. Well, it's the start of Advent. We're taking a break from our series on 1 Peter, and we're sort of moving into our Advent and Christmas talks. And it's the first Sunday in Advent when we think about Jesus returning in glory. Because Advent's about counting down. We count down to Christmas. You won't have started, those Advent Sunday, you won't have started yet your Advent calendars. So you've got Advent calendars at home? You've got Advent calendars. Chocolate ones? Yeah. Yeah, got chocolate, got Advent calendars? All the women are going, yes, chocolate ones. Kids are going, what? What? So, yeah, we have our Advent calendars. We like to count down, don't we? But we kind of, we know, we're counting down definitely to Christmas Day with our Advent calendars. Or, you know, and we're hoping it's going to be a great Christmas Day, aren't we, this year? We were really quite certain of that a week ago. We're slightly less certain of that this morning, aren't we? You know, it doesn't always quite work out the way you want. There was an astronaut sat on the launch pad at Cape Canaveral, and he was asked over the radio by a reporter, you know, how are you feeling? And he said, well, how would you feel in my place, sat on 900,000 pounds of rocket fuel with a rocket ship built of 15,000 parts, all supplied by the lowest bidder? Think about that for a moment. It's not quite so comforting, is it? You know, how's the takeoff going to go? It could go kind of one of many ways. So, but we're certain that we're counting down to Christmas Day in some sort. And Advent is also about looking ahead to the certainty that one day Jesus will return. Now, perhaps you kind of come to church today and you're sort of thinking, well, you know, what is this all about? Is, you know, Jesus is just a, you know, nice story, baby in a manger, bit of a fairy tale. And actually the only thing that we need to prepare for the future is a larger debt and a larger waistline, because that's all that January sort of brings, isn't it, really? Well, if that's what you're thinking, actually there's so much more to look forward to. And it's in the Bible. And we heard the reading. That's why we gave Harriet the Bible. There's so much more to look forward to according to the Bible. Now, it's lovely to have Harriet and her family and her friends here, and I hope you're enjoying being in this building. And it's a beautiful building, it's a lovely building, but I've got to tell you, it's actually nothing compared to the Jerusalem temple that existed 2,000 years ago. You know, I mean, when this was built sort of 800 years ago, and everyone lived in much more sort of modest accommodation in Badbury, this would have been a very impressive building. But 2,000 years ago, in Jerusalem, people lived in even more modest sort of accommodation, and the temple was even more enormous and splendid and glorious. And it was to make people think about how glorious and majestic God was. And a few verses before the reading that we had, the disciples had been doing a little bit of sort of, you know, kind of grand designs, kind of architectural discussion, and kind of marvelling at how beautiful the temple was, and saying how glorious and amazing, and, you know, they've been really appreciating the architectural beauty of it. Who knew that the disciples were so good at architecture? Anyway, they really loved it. They really loved it. It was a very impressive place. You know, take a look at the walls here, and you sort of look at the stone blocks that you can see were kind of quarried out. And the temple in Jerusalem, the stone blocks used to build that are about the size of a small car. And they were quarried out as whole blocks and transported, and the temple was built. It was a major feat 2,000 years ago. Very, very impressive. Very impressive. And it was generally assumed that the temple was under divine protection. God was looking after it. Nothing bad was ever going to happen to it. But there's a shock coming, because Jesus says, in response to the disciples' kind of architectural appreciation of it, he says, it's all going to be destroyed, guys. Not one stone is going to be left on top of another. In fact, Jesus says it's going to get worse. The city of Jerusalem, God's holy city, is going to be laid waste. And you know, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near, says Jesus. Now, that's really devastating news for the disciples. It's like, you know, it's like you've booked, you know, your shopping delivery for Christmas Day with, you know, Tesco's, Sainsbury's, Ocado, Waitrose, whoever it is, and you get a phone call at sort of, you know, five o'clock on Christmas Eve, and they go, "Terribly sorry to tell you, we've had a bit of a problem with our van. We're not going to be able to deliver your Christmas delivery." You know, it's devastating news. How are you going to be able to do Christmas? It's all disaster. But it's worse. This is God's holy city with God's holy temple in the middle. And if the temple isn't there, then the people of God, 2,000 years ago, can't go in, can't offer the animal sacrifices that they did to pay for sin. And if they can't offer those sacrifices to pay for their sin, then they are sinners before God, and they are in real deep trouble. That's bad news. Let me sort of put it into perspective. Imagine if Harriet's eternal destiny depended on her baptism today. Okay, it doesn't, don't worry. But you know, because the baptism is the outward sign of starting this journey of faith, as we were talking about at the preparation evening. But you know, what would have happened if this morning the church had suddenly burnt down and we couldn't have done the baptism? If I'd been really poorly and not been able to do the baptism, what if, when they got Harriet home today, she was a right little pickle? Yes? It's hard to imagine, isn't it? But what if Harriet was naughty? Would that invalidate her baptism? I mean, we had to do it all again next week. You see, that's the danger of putting all of our faith into organised religion. Organised religion can't ever save us. We actually need something more. We need a saviour, and that's who Jesus is. That's who Jesus is. He is our saviour. The temple is going to be destroyed, and it has been. I've been to Jerusalem and I've seen the blocks like cast aside, like sort of Harriet's little building blocks might be. And the Dome of the Rock, that gold dome you see in Jerusalem, that's a Muslim temple now. That's built on what used to be the Jewish temple that we read about in the Bible. So the temple is gone completely. The Romans invaded Jerusalem completely. They weren't very impressed with what the people of Jerusalem were doing, and they laid it waste in AD 70. Even though they were occupying force, they went in and they just trashed the place. So it all came true. But Jesus says, actually, there's going to be more than that. He says, you're going to see the Son of Man return in glory. He's talking about himself. He's our saviour. You see, organised religion can't save us, but Jesus can. That's why we've baptised Harriet into the faith of Jesus, so she can grow up to know Jesus. The baptism won't save her. Knowing who Jesus is will save her. Putting her faith and her trust in Jesus will save her, because the Jerusalem temple is gone. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again, and he's going to return. But do you know what? It's going to be a bit of a scary time, because we think about Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. But Jesus is going to return to judge the world. We went into Paper Chase this week. We did a bit of Christmas shopping, and we went into Paper Chase just to have a browse around, and we found an inflatable Jesus. Yes. Not at all offensive, you know, but it's like floats on water. Make friends with the Son of God. And then he won't judge you. Actually, he will. Jesus comes to judge. Not to just sort of, you know, pick away at all the things we do, but to judge whether or not we've put our faith and our trust in him who died on the cross for us and rose again to rescue us from sin and death, the things we could never do, the things animal sacrifices could never do. Or whether or not we've just treated him like he's a Christmas card image, or just a good man, or a bit of a joke. He's going to return in glory. It tells us there'll be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars on the earth. Nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. You thought Storm Arwen was bad. This is going to be even more spectacular. Men will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And Jesus is saying a little phrase that would make all of his mates, all of the disciples, remember something they knew from their religious studies, from the book of Daniel. Remember Daniel in the Old Testament, Daniel in the lion's den? Daniel had a dream, and Daniel wrote, "At night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man," that's the phrase Jesus uses, "coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days," that's God, "and he was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, all nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Oh no, what's happened there, Harriet? There you go. That's yours. Okay. We have introduced Harriet today to Jesus. At the start of that great adventure, that great lifetime and eternal adventure of discovering and knowing who Jesus is. Because he is this incredible, sovereign, King, Lord. We were thinking last week about Christ the King. Well, this is it here. We get this all again. This wonderful King that he is, coming to bring his people to glory. Not because of anything we've done, but simply because we know who he is and we put our faith in him. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, hang on a minute, can we just trust all of this? Because is it still relevant? I remember hearing a little bit that said, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Well, surely the generation Jesus was talking to, they have all passed away. They have all died. It was 2,000 years ago, that. But we've got two things being talked about here. We've got, first of all, the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem as a sign. And then we've got the actual return of Jesus in glory and power and splendour and majesty at some point. The generation didn't pass away until the Jerusalem temple had been destroyed. But Jesus hasn't yet returned. That's still to come. So, we've still got time to get ready. We've got 4 candles before we get to the big one in the middle and Christmas Day. You've got your Advent calendars to count down before you get to Christmas Day. And you've got to get all your preparations ready for that big day. We don't know when Jesus is going to come. But we've got time to get ready for it. Even if it's just the next 30 seconds. Because Jesus could come in 30 seconds' time. I don't know. We're not told the day and the time. But Jesus says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you'll be able to escape all that's about to happen. How can you escape? Simply by trusting in Jesus. And that you'll be able to stand before the Son of Man. How can you stand? This amazing, glorious, incredible Jesus. How can you stand before him? By putting your trust and your faith in him. Knowing him as your Lord and your Saviour. As your best friend. As the one who loves you more than anything or anyone else ever could. Jesus is urging us to keep our faith in him because he doesn't want any of us to fall by the wayside. I love the message, the paraphrase of the Bible puts it like this: be on your guard. Don't let the sharp edge of your expectation get dulled by parties and drinking and shopping. Now that's a great reminder at the start of Advent, isn't it? You know, because we can so easily lose sight of Jesus and the real meaning of Christmas by parties and drinking and shopping. Now, by all means, enjoy yourself. I'm not one of these vicars going, you must not enjoy yourself at Christmas. No parties for any of you. Put that disarano away. Right? You don't have to be miserable if you're a Christian. I mean, you can be miserable if you're Christian. If you're a miserable person and you want to be a Christian, that's fine. You might find you actually get a bit more joy in your life. But actually, yeah. Parties. The Bible says heaven's going to be the greatest party. You know? But don't get so hung up on parties and drinking and shopping that you forget who Jesus really is. And what Christmas is really about. And how much God really loves you. And the fact that it isn't something that's all happened in the past. Because one day, Jesus is going to return in glory. Our rescue, our salvation is not achieved because we attend church or because we've been baptised. It comes through faith in Christ alone. Our hope for Harriet is that having welcomed her into Christ's church. Not just the building, the church is the people. Having welcomed her into Christ's church, the people of God, she will, as she grows up, choose to put her faith in him. And she will be able to welcome Jesus' return as the amazing, glorious, wonderful, spectacular thing that it is going to be. Amen. We are going to stand. We're going to affirm our faith in the words of the Creed. And you'll notice that we talk about Jesus' return in glory to judge the world as part of that. So let's say together the words of the Creed.